I'll sing the calm sea with Jesus. The disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so Jesus arose when they called him and said to them, where is your faith? Because storm of your life had begun, but seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You've cried out for help from the Savior, and you know you can't give up now, because you prayed all night, 'cause you held on with all of your might. Child of Christ, have a warm hand, the Master. He knows your voice, and your hand is time to rejoice. Child of Christ, have a warm hand, the Master. You're up there worried while he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. But try to be patient, 'cause he'll soon bring peace. Just one word from his voice, and it all.
Good to see everybody this morning. Everybody doing okay? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. So good to be in his house this morning. We never, ever take this opportunity for granted. And it's just so good to be here this morning on this fall-like Sunday morning. And brisk air. air this morning, and I'm so thankful that it's fall time, and I love fall time. I hope you do. But nonetheless, it's good to be here this morning, and I'm glad that you're here. I want to say thank you to those that are viewing by way of Facebook. It's always good to have you viewing with us as well. I just got a question this morning. Why are you here? I mean, really, why are we here this morning? Why are you here? Why am I here? Did you come to please someone? Did you come to, you know, to laugh and cut up? Of course, it's okay to laugh and have a good time in God's house. But I hope you've come this way this morning to hear from Jesus. Amen. And I hope you've come this way this morning to praise the Lord. And those watching on Facebook, why are you watching? Why are you watching this morning? I hope you're watching because you want to receive something from the Lord. And I thank you for watching. And so my prayer is this morning that you've come for the right reason. Because I know the Lord has something He wants to say this morning. Again, this is so good to be here. Glad you're here. I do have some things I want to mention before we pray. Let's remember, of course, let's remember Israel in our prayers, being under attack like they are. And you know what that means. It's a sign of the times. You know, the Lord said, you bless my people, I'll bless you. You curse me, I'll curse you. And so we're standing with Israel this morning. Anybody who doesn't stand for Israel is an enemy of ours because they're an enemy of the Lord. And so let's pray for Israel this morning. Let's also pray for Pastor Friend of Brother Brian Busby. He's away actually preaching at his church this morning. He mentioned this last Sunday night, but he's not doing well. The pastor friend of his is not doing well at all. And so let's pray for him. Also, got great news to report. Got a praise report. Brother Dylan Brown, this is the son of Thomas and Misty Brown from Grace Baptist Church, Thomas being the pastor. Dylan is home now. And so we praise the Lord for that. He went on vacation like a lot of people do. He was alive, but he just didn't wake up. That morning that happened, had a mass on his brain, I believe it was, somewhere in there in the nasal area. But he's smiling. He's up. He's back at home. We praise God for that. So just remember his recovery. Let's also remember Brother Ceylon. He has one eye complete, and now he has to get his other eye complete. So he's halfway there. And I walked up to him this morning. I stood on the side of him. I said, "What do you think?" "Can you see me?" So then he turned around and looked at his good eye. He said, "I can see you." So that was. I love messing with Brother Ceylon. But let's remember him in prayer. I do want to say thank you, church, for the acknowledgement on last Sunday morning, Pastor Appreciation. That was very touching. We would just thank you so much for that, the card and the gift. We're so humbled by that, and we want to continue to be that the kind of pastor that God wants me to be for you. We want to continue to be that. So thank you for that. Remember Dorothy Holcomb. She's in hospice care. This is Tracy Reese's mother, things are not looking good. On top of that, she has COVID. But let's do remember her. Of course, all of our people who are in hospice care and shut-ins, let's remember them. Brother Jeff Hodges goes on November 17th to get a mass removed from his kidney. And so let's remember him on that. And again, we mentioned Wednesday night, Ms. Dolores Palmer has good news. She is released from her doctor care. Her hernia repair is healed. In fact, I talked to her last Wednesday, and I believe it was, she was standing up cooking in the kitchen. So that's a wonderful thing to be recovered from a surgery. especially as long as the recovery process was.
All right, I want to mention some upcoming
events and some reminders, so please pay attention to things I'm about to mention. We have the church yard sale coming up on this coming Saturday, the 21st, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and this is for to raise money for the church ministry, building fund, remodeling, the things we want to do around here to make things more modern and up-to-date. But also, it's a ministry outreach. This is an opportunity to share your faith, invite people to church, and also we're having a cookout. And so it's a lot of things going on, and we have a sign-up sheet. If you are planning on taking part in this, I'm going to ask you right now, and then at the end of the service, if you would come over here and write your name on the sign-up sheet, just so we can get an idea of the amount of people that we're going to have. What is it that I want you to do? Sign up on the sign-up sheet if you're going to participate in the yard sale. Please remember to do that so we'll know. Also, we have a sign-up sheet for our trunk retreat, which we have going on the last Sunday night of this month. And that'll be a great time. We have a sign-up sheet for that. Remember, if you're going to participate in that, please sign up for that as well. A very brief deacons meeting after church this morning. I just have one thing I'd like to discuss briefly. I know it's a busy afternoon. There's CLU, Calvary Ladies Union, at 3 p.m. And if you're a lady and you've never been to this, it's a time of devotion and prayer. And so please join in if you like at 3 p.m. But saying that, we do have a busy afternoon. Choir practice, brother? Choir practice at 4, following CLU. So we will keep this deacon's meeting very brief because in light of all these things. And I'll just say this about tonight's service. We're going to do something a little special that's on my heart. And we'll you just got to show up to see what it is. But it is going to be something different. It is going to be something special. And so please make plans in being here tonight at 5 o'clock, if you would. All right, well, did you come to worship this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, well, let's pray to the Lord and ask God to bless us in the service. I know He has something He wants to say. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You, Lord, for all things, the good, the bad, the ugly. It's easy to say that when things are going well, but at the end of the day, that's the truth. God, You're allowing all things to work together for good, especially those, especially to those who know You as Lord and Savior. I pray today for all these requests, Lord, that You'd be with every person, every life, every situation. And God, we just praise You for Dylan coming home, and we praise You for Miss Dolores, who's healed and recovered. But Lord, we do pray for all the rest. We pray for all these activities that are coming up, Lord, on our calendar. God, we pray that You would be with us and bless everyone. God, we just want to be a help in our community. Father, we're just wanting to see souls saved. Lord, we want hearts to be encouraged. God, we want the church to grow. Help us all today be all in. And Father, we just love You and we thank You. Meet with us in a mighty way this morning, and we'll praise You and thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus, page 120. All right, let's sing this morning. I heard an old I see. seated. It's great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And yes, we do have choir practice at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And in the very near future, maybe not tonight, but we'll start working on our Christmas music. And that's hard to believe we're talking about. But that's right around the corner. So please make that a matter of prayer. I want to throw this out there. If you have been a member of the choir and would like to come back to the choir, you are welcome, and this will be a great evening for it. We have a new member or a new guest with us this morning in the choir. She's going to give us a shot, and we're thankful to have you in the choir with us this morning. And that's a blessing, and I know that it will be a blessing for you as well. But it's great to have new members. It's great to have new folks, and we are missing some this morning. Children's Home's traveling. So that leaves a pretty big gap in the choir. So pray the Lord bring them back home. I told them this morning, I said, don't be discouraged. You're going to look around one morning, this place is going to be full up here. And if we get everybody back here at the same time, we'd be in really good shape. But if you've been praying about becoming a part of the choir, we welcome you and we'd love to have you and we thank you for it. But just remember the choir this morning in prayer and pray for a great day. CLU. 3 o'clock, choir practice at 4, evening service at 5. And I did speak with Miss Nancy McClure, that is Dorothy's daughter, and she had spoke to me on, called me Friday evening, I believe, and Miss Dorothy's just not doing well. And she said, if you would please relay to the church. She said, I know I haven't been there in some time, but that's my home, that's my heart, and I just need my church family to pray. And I just remember them in prayer. And if you want to reach out to her, I've got her phone number. You might just want to send her a text. A lot of you don't know who that is, I'm sure, but some do. And I know that the church, we don't have to know the names nor the faces to know that God's going to remember them, and he knows them. So whether you know them or you don't, let's lift them up in prayer. As a church member, seek in prayer. Amen? So please remember that. Let's go to the Lord. Again, in a word of prayer and ask his blessing on the service this morning. Pray for Pastor. Great to have David back with us this morning, back at full strength. There's full strength as me and you can muster up. But it is great to have you back this morning. And let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you. Lord, that is the reason that we're here, is we want to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we want to hear from heaven today. Lord, we stand in need just to hear the whisper from God. And Lord, we need for you to speak to our hearts. And Lord, I know that you're going to use our pastor this morning to do that. And Lord, I pray that I know you've given him a message and given him the words. Now, Lord, give him, Lord, the ability to be able to speak it in the way that you'd be pleased. Lord, this morning we just need fresh oil. And God, I pray that you would just anoint this place today. Fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Be with those that are sick. Lord, thank you for those that have been, that are back with us this morning. We praise you for that. Some others that are still unable to be back, and God, I pray that you touch them. But Lord, again, fill this place. Lord, that when we leave here, we'll be able to say, Lord, it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord this morning. Lord, we just want to hear from heaven. We'll ask you for all these things in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about my sin. It's about how
Again, it's good to be here this morning. I hope you're glad that you're here. And we do want to ask you to remember Miss Glenda Henderson, as she's home, not doing well, and sick. It's good to see Brother Chuck, Sister CeCe, back with us this morning. And so good to have our visitors with us, our friends, and of course, again, Lily and Caitlin and Tyler, they all go to school together. And it's good to have them back with us this morning. And good to have Caitlin in the choir. So gave a little tryout this morning, see how it goes. And but anyway, we're just so thankful for being here. I'll ask you to pray for my dad. I talked to him yesterday, and he's preaching this morning. He's actually preaching this morning. And I said, what you going to preach on? He said, well, son, you know, this world's coming to an end. And I said, I know. He said, I'm going to preach on Jesus, him coming back. And he feels like he's called to preach. And Dad said that he's going to wheel his wheelchair back up in the sanctuary, or the chapel there, and he's just going to share God's word with everybody. And so I'm just real tickled and excited about that. And had a moment yesterday to talk to him about preaching a little bit. And what a blessing that is. Amen. In just a few moments, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. If you want to go ahead and make your way there, Philippians 4, verse 13. Again, it's going to be a few moments before we actually arrive there. I do want to slow the tempo down a little bit this morning. It may feel already slow enough to you, but I need it to slow down a bit for me. I want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to introduce the subject this morning. Something that should probably be preached on more so than not enough. Father, we pause this morning. God, I wait on you. Lord, we've come together this morning for one purpose, to worship you, to hear from you. There may be someone here this morning that doesn't know you personally as their Lord and Savior. And Father, there may be someone here this morning who's on the brink of a nervous breakdown. There may be someone here this morning who has been listening to the lies of the devil this week. Someone may be here who's discouraged and who may be even thinking about just giving up on life and hope. I pray this morning that you would rescue the ones that need you the most. I pray, God, that you'd give me a clear head and a calm heart, gird up the loins of my mind. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll use me as a conduit by which you flow through. Save the lost. Bless the saved. Bring those who are away from the cross back to the cross. God, I just need your touch this morning, because I want your people to be blessed and fed. We love you this morning. We thank you, and we praise you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Amen. The oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico not long ago was toxic and cost an estimated $7 billion to clean up. Y'all remember the oil spill and oil spills that take place and that took place? Happened in the Gulf of Mexico, one place in particular. That oil spill affected sea life. It affected personal property. It even affected the seafood that's eaten in restaurants because of that toxic waste in the water. It touched the restaurants and local communities, and people could not eat of it. It'd make them sick, and they'd die. Oil spills happen mostly by accident, involving tanker trucks, barges, pipelines, refineries, drilling rigs, etc. They happen by accident. No one plans on having an oil spill. Oil spills are very toxic. This morning, there's something else that's toxic that we all deal with. We may not be cleaning up oil every day in our lives physically, but there is a toxic element that we all deal with. And that is toxic thoughts. Toxic thoughts. Toxic thoughts are harmful to us. Toxic thoughts can occur at any time. Toxic thoughts are unwanted. Another word for the word toxic is poisonous, harmful. Even the word insidious is used to describe the toxicity of itself. You can be going about your day and having spent time with Jesus in the morning, giving your problems to God. But by the time you walk into the workplace or the schoolhouse, there can be some harmful thoughts cross your mind. These harmful thoughts that cross your mind and cross my mind, these insidious thoughts, these poisonous thoughts, these toxic thoughts that cross our minds, it can come from our own self, our own unredeemed minds. Our hearts are saved, those that are saved, but our minds are not saved. These toxic thoughts can come from the evil one, the devil. The devil cannot possess a believer, but he can oppress. He can knock on your door, but he can't come inside. And so sometimes we're dealing with satanic oppression. You can be going about your day and all of a sudden you start thinking about dying. You can be going about your day and all of a sudden start thinking about losing your wife or child or husband or grandchild. Out of nowhere, at any time, these toxic thoughts can enter your mind. You can have a fantastic day and then out of nowhere you start worrying about your finances. Will you lose your home? Will your car get repoed? Listen, all of these are real things that people deal with. And I have to confess that I battle toxic thoughts daily. It's not that I'm a bad man or a bad guy or a bad dad or husband or a horrible preacher or pastor. It's just that I'm on planet Earth and my mind is not saved. I have to continually, at all times, keep a check on my mind. And I will say that this is a very draining thing. It's draining. It's continual. It's constant. But it's work that has to be done. We have to gird up the loins of our mind, as Peter said. Many times before I preach, I always pray, and I just prayed it a moment ago, Lord, give me a clear mind and a calm heart. Because our mind is a battlefield this morning. Our minds tell us things, and of course, our hearts tells us something else. Especially if we know the Lord, and the Lord being in our hearts, many times the heart and mind will be out of sync, and it has to be in sync. Toxic thoughts are the fly in the ointment. Yesterday afternoon, I was on the back porch and the place that I love so much, back patio, And I had my cup there, and I was trying to clear my head to study for church. And I was drinking my drink, my Mr. Pibb Zero. Sitting it down, picking it up, sitting it down. And I was on my phone reading scripture. And I seen something out of the corner of my eye, see, Lauren? And I kid you not, there was a fly. I don't know if all grasshoppers fly, but there was a big, huge, flying, bright green grasshopper sitting right on top of my glass. I thought, what in the world is that thing? And so I tried to thump him away, and I missed. So I gave myself three strikes. And on that third time, I thumped him, and he went flying. Now, you can rest assured, I didn't drink out of that glass after that. I don't care if it was Jiminy Cricket or not. It was contaminated in my eyes. So I went to the sink, and of course, it was one of them tumblers, and I had the lid on it, and I put soap in it and let it soak. Silly illustration, but it was contaminated. Toxic thoughts are it's a fly in the ointment. Toxic thoughts are poisonous, they're harmful. So we need to be people who work constantly in our thought life. And again, the first thing that you have to make sure that you accomplish is asking the Lord Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and that way your heart gets fixed, but then you can bring your heart and your mind in one accord over time. I want to preach this morning for a few moments on that subject, toxic thoughts. Toxic thoughts. And I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to you. Again, this is something I need to preach on more, not less. It's been a while since I've preached on this subject. Number one, the first toxic thought that we deal with, and this is a thought that needs to be trashed, is the thought, I can't. I can't. The worst thing about the I can't thought is that it stops us before we start. It fills us with fear as we face our biggest challenges in life. I can't overcome my struggles. I can't overcome my addictions. I can't. I can't further my education. I just can't do it. I can't get healthy. I just cannot find a way of getting healthy. I can't. I can't overcome my hurts and my habits and my hang-ups. I've tried and I just can't overcome those things. Well, in contrast to this toxic thought, let me tell you what Jesus says in Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13, someone please tell me what the first two letters of this verse says. I can. Wait a minute, our thought says we can't. But the Bible says that we can. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We can do anything God wants us to do, which includes overcoming our struggles, which includes furthering our education if we're in school, which includes getting healthy, which includes overcoming hurts and habits and hang-ups. God wants us, listen, it is His perfect will for us to overcome these things. The problem is we have the toxic thoughts constantly that tells us that we can't. So how about it this morning? What is it in your life that you're trying to make right? What relationship is it in your life that you want mended and you keep telling yourself, I can't, it'll never happen, it just will not be restored? What is it this morning? in your life that you're telling yourself you can't. But on the contrary, God's saying that you can. You can. When the devil says you can't, you tell him you can. And when you do, tell him you did. Again, when the devil says you can't, you tell him you can. And when you do, make sure you tell him you did. I think it's important, at least it is for me, to stick out my finger and to point it right in the face of the devil and tell him, you told me I can't. My mind told me I can't. But God said I can, and I did. Very important to me. Listen, if the devil points his finger at you and you and you and you and accuses you of things that you did in times past or tells you things that you can't do, it is so important to get one over on the devil, point your finger at him and say, I did. Of course, it's not by your strength. It's not by my strength, but it's by a dependency on Jesus Christ and the promises of his word. If his word says we can, doesn't matter what things look like, we can do it. I can this morning do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So we can change our minds by the promises of God's word. Whatever it is you're hung up on this morning, start saying I can. Whatever it is pulling you down this morning, start saying I can, I can, I can, I can. The Bible says you can, and so I believe you can. There's a second thought that needs to be trashed. Again, these are five thoughts that need to be trashed, five toxic thoughts. Number one, I can't. But what about this one? God won't. God won't. The toxic thought or mindset that says, God won't help me. I struggle too much. God won't forgive me. I fail too much. God won't hear me. I'm a nobody. God won't, and God can't love me. I'm unlovable. These are thoughts of the carnal, unredeemed mind. These are lies, lies of the devil that creep in many times during the course of our day and says that God won't help you. You struggle too much. You fail too much. You're a nobody. You're unlovable. Has anybody been there before? Where you get that voice in your head that whether it's coming from you or Satan, doesn't really matter. The idea is that it's there and it's toxic, it's insidious, it's poisonous, and it's harmful. And it's dragging you down, causing you to retreat, causing you to disengage with life and people by the devil in your mind saying God won't. Well, I got news for you this morning. God can. God can. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 103 for a moment. Psalm 103. Listen to this. Psalm 103, verse number 13 and 14. God won't help me. God won't forgive me. God won't hear me. God won't love me. I'm unlovable. I'm a nobody. I fail too much, struggle too much. Well, let's see what the thoughts of the Lord are to us. Psalm 103, verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. God is fully aware of how we feel about ourselves. We may feel like we struggle too much. We may feel like we fail too much. We may feel like we're a nobody. We may feel like we're unlovable. And the devil may try to tell us that God won't help us. We are just so broken. But Jesus, the scripture says here that like as a father pitieth his children. So the Lord pitieth them that fear him. That word pitieth, it means compassion, tender affection. It means have mercy. And then he says in verse 14, for he knoweth our frame. That word knoweth, it means observation. It means acquaintance. For he knoweth our frame. That word remembereth. He remembereth. That word remembereth means to mark. It means to be mindful. He remembereth that we are dust. The word dust means dry earth. It means ashes. It means clay. It means mud. It means powder. It means rubbish. So while we may be feeling this way about ourselves, the truth of the matter is our Heavenly Father doesn't feel that way about us. The devil says God won't help us, and the Bible says God will help us because of how He views us. The Bible says, like as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on them that fear him. For he observes our mind, body, and soul. He marks, or he's mindful that we are clay, mud, powder, or rubbish. And this morning, the next time you fail, the next time you struggle with something, and even the struggle of this toxic thought, God won't, just remember that God loves you the way you are. God understands your struggle. He knows that you're but dust. And the devil likes to make us feel like we're unlovable. And God won't hear us. God won't help us. This is a toxic thought this morning. God is not frustrated or mad because of our failures or our negative thinking. He's understanding and merciful. The Lord doesn't desert us this morning. Don't turn there, but I'll mention it. Psalm 34 and verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Our minds, and the devil says God won't, but God says I will. I will. This is a toxic thought, where our minds and the devil says that God doesn't want anything to do with us and he won't help us. But the Bible says he understands us. Thought number three that's very toxic is this. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. God doesn't care about me. People don't care about me. Anybody had that thought before? Well, I can go to church and come back and nobody will even notice that I was at church. And nobody even noticed that I left the house. People don't care about me. God don't care about me. Well, I beg to differ. God cares about you. 1 Peter 5, 7, the Bible says, casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. God cares about you this morning. If you have a toxic thought life that says God don't care about me, then it's a toxic thought life. It's wrong. Because God cares. You say, well, Brother Justin, it's something I'm dealing with over here that, I mean, it's so unique, it's so personal, it's so tailor-made. There's just no way that God cares about this. I beg to differ. Everything in your life that you're concerned about, God's concerned about. Everything that you're going through in life and that is concerning and alarming to you, causes anxiety, God is concerned about. Everything. You say, well, not this. This is just a little out of the way. It's too hard to handle. There's no way that God's concerned about it. He is. He says, casting all. I know you've heard it umpteenth times. But are we really living by it? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Whatever it is you're concerned about, he wants you to trust him with it. And so God cares. But not only does God care, but people care. God cares, but people care. Church family are caring people. Hebrews 10:25, if you want to turn there. Listen to this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Bible tells us here that we can find encouragement in the house of God. He says that we are to exhort, encourage, lift up one another. But in order to be encouraged in the house of God, you got to come to the house of God. And I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning because you're here. But whoever is not here that may be watching on Facebook, and there's some that watch on Facebook that have to watch on Facebook. Physically, they can't come. But for those who are watching on Facebook that has no reason not to be here but has resorted to watching on Facebook, you're missing out on encouragement. It is biblical to come to the house of God. And one thing you could find at the house of God more than or along with a lot of other things is encouragement. And if you come to church and someone's ugly to you, you stick your finger at them and you all right, I was going to say call them an antichrist, but no, don't do that. Just stick your finger at them and say, listen, you're not being encouraging. The Bible says we are to come together and exhort one another. We don't need no complainers at church. We don't need no finger pointers at church, unless you're pointing to correct somebody. We don't need any of that. We don't need any negativity. We don't need any backbiting. We don't need any arguing. We don't need any of those things. We come to church to encourage one another. There's a man in the Bible named Barnabas. The name Barnabas means son of encouragement. And in Acts, I'll just give it to you, Acts 11. Listen to this. In verse number 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, encouraged them all, challenged them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. How about that? Barnabas, the son of encouragement, he was an encourager. I read in the book of Philemon that Paul said that Philemon was the kind of Christian that refreshed the saints. He was a refreshing Christian. And so there are two types of Christians. There are refreshing Christians, and then there are depressing Christians. And we all struggle with both, I know, but what I'm saying today is let's strive to be a refreshing Christian. If someone walks up to you in the house of God and says, hey, don't turn away and act like you didn't know they said, hey, shame on you if you do that. I know one or two right now that I've gotten report of that's acted that way. If you walk up to somebody and say, hey, how are you doing? They just keep on walking. That's nonsense. That's garbage. Don't act that way. That's being a negative, draining, depressing Christian. And we are to be encouragers, refreshing Christians. And so sometimes we have those negative thoughts, those toxic thoughts that says nobody cares. But according to the Bible, God cares and people do care. Put yourself around the right people if you really want to be cared for the right way. Has everything to do with who you're around or who you're running with. So that's the third toxic thought that needs to be trashed, is nobody cares. But what about this toxic thought that needs to be trashed? I don't matter. I don't matter. A lot of these are piggybacking on the one before. But they are different. There's the thought that I don't matter. Sometimes we think this, and sometimes you think this. Well, I want to refute that thought. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You matter to God. He died for you. While he was on the cross, you were on his mind. You are a creation of God. Think about this. People say, "Well, I don't matter. I'm nothing." Think about this. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he spoke into nothing and created everything. And so to say that you're nothing and you don't matter is anti-Bible. Because we serve a God who has the ability to reach down to things that are nothing and create miraculous things. "Oh, I'm nothing this morning. God don't love me." Yes, he does love you. You're more than nothing. You're everything to him. God has a way of reaching down to people that feel like they're nothing, and he does something miraculous like he did in creation. He wants us all to be children of God. He wants to bless all of us and use all of us. But we have to understand that we do matter to him. And we have to accept him as our Lord and Savior if we're not saved. Then he will reveal his purpose for you, and then he will bless you. I don't matter. We see that this isn't true in the life of Zacchaeus. Remember that? The wee little man, Zacchaeus. I don't know how little he was. I don't know if he had dwarfism or not. And that ain't being funny. That's being honest. He was short of stature. But he wanted to see Jesus. And so what he did was, he didn't just say, "Oh, because of my situation, I can't see Jesus," and go to the house and be upset. "I don't matter." No, but he climbed up in the sycamore tree. He made effort. He didn't allow his circumstance to blind him from seeing God. Some of us this morning, we have believed the lies of the devil that the devil tells us. We tell ourselves that we don't matter, and we just believe that lie, and because of that, it blinds us from how God wants to bless us. Because guess what happened? In the midst of that busy crowd on that day, Jesus looks up in that sycamore tree and says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house." Out of all the religious people, he focused on that one that would not settle because he had a situation. He was short in stature. He didn't allow that to hinder him from seeing God. And God took knowledge of it. This morning, if you're here and you feel like, "Well, my life don't matter. Doesn't matter what I do for God or whatnot. He isn't watching. He doesn't care." I beg to differ. He cares. If he took notice of Zacchaeus out of the midst of that crowd, he takes notice of you. But what about the lad with the loaves? The lad with the loaves. There was a situation one day where the multitude needed to be fed. And we know that Philip was looking to his own resources. He reached in his pocket and said, "Lord, we only have this much money. This isn't going to buy meat and bread for everyone." And so he put it back in his pocket. But then there was a lad, a young boy came up and gave a little lunch to the Lord. And we know that two things happened when he gave that lunch to the Lord. There was a transfer. The lad gave it to the Lord. And then there was a transform. Jesus transformed it and fed the multitude. And so this again tells us that it mattered to God what the young lad offered to him. It wasn't much. I mean, his mom made it for him, I'm sure, that morning. A lot of money wasn't invested in that little lunch, fish and the loaves. But that little lad believed with all of his heart that if he just gave it to Jesus, Jesus could use it in some way or fashion. And so he transferred it to the hands of God, and God transformed it and fed the multitude and had many baskets left over. What you do for God matters. You matter to God. He is one who can reach down into nothing and create a miracle. He's one who notices our offerings to Him. And if we transfer it, He can transform it. God knows all about us this morning. So the next time you think I don't matter or what I do for God don't matter, I beg to differ. These are toxic thoughts. One more and I'm done. Not only I don't matter is a toxic thought, but it's too late is a toxic thought. It's too late. Powerful lie of the devil and of the mind, how sometimes we think that it's too late to do something. One may think that it's too late to get saved. I'm much too old. The sins I've committed. It's too late. It's too late to get saved. It's too late to turn things around. Things are already done. Bridges are burned. People are offended. It's over. It's too late to start over. It's too late to apologize. It's too late to forgive. It's too late to start doing better. It's just too late to do things any different. I beg to differ. We need to live by the reality where the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. As long as you got breath in your lung today, in your lungs today, it's not too late. But I will say, tomorrow's not promised either. If you have not trusted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, do it today. You may not be here tomorrow. Let me ask you a question. Where will you be in 100 years from now? Every single person in here, just like none of you are saved. And I know better. I know better. But there may be one this morning, and I ask you, where will you be 100 years from now? And you say, dead. Well, yeah. But where are you going to be at, heaven or hell? There's only two places. It's not too late. Let today be the day you call on Jesus. You say, how do I do that? Simple as ABC. Admit you're a sinner. You say, well, Brother Justin, I haven't robbed any banks. I haven't killed nobody. It doesn't matter. James says if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. Which means we're all condemned. Admit that you're a sinner. And the B is for believe. Believe in your heart that Jesus died for you and He was buried and on the third day rose again. Believe. He died for you this morning, young person, older person. But the C stands for confess. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died for you and was buried and He rose again on the third day, and thou shalt be saved. That's what the Scripture says. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done whereby we're saved, but it's by the gift of God that we're saved. Amen. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So today's the day of salvation. Today's the day of reconciliation. Are you at odds with a neighbor, a church member, family, friend? It's not too late to apologize. It's not too late to let them know you've been offended. It's not too late. Get that done early so there will be no bitter seeds or roots in your life affecting you. It's not too late to turn around. It's not too late to start over. It's not too late because you're here and we're all breathing. That's a toxic thought this morning, is that sometimes we think and the devil oppresses our minds like it's too late. It's not too late. It's not too late to get things right. These were just some toxic thoughts that I wanted to mention this morning. Again, these need to be preached and taught and spoke about more often, because I think this is something we all struggle with on a daily basis. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. We praise you for, Lord, the message this morning. I pray that somebody may have been helped. I pray that somebody would get saved. I pray some believer, Christian, would come back to the cross if they're falling from afar. We love you today. We thank you. Moving the invitation, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning.